We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is the First in Football Podcast, your behind-the-scenes look at Princeton Tigers football. Here's your host, Cody Kruschel.
Smith rolls left, man open, leaping, caught, touchdown Tigers. Carson Bobo, the tight end, with his first career touchdown catch. Man wide open behind the defense, classy in stride at the 20, at the 10. One man to beat, dives for the pylon. Touchdown, Princeton! From the 34, Smith complete over the middle. Tigers have it, Yosef Vaj, and he can walk into the end zone from 34 yards out. Up the middle, Colanini shakes the ankle tackle and marches in for his third score. Handoff, Edey up the middle, has a seam. One man to beat, Colanini into the end zone for the fourth time today. Wasn't the easy victory it has been the past 4 years. Brown fought till the end, but the Princeton Tigers are 5-0 for the third consecutive season. Princeton 56, Brown 42. For the Princeton Tigers, 652 yards of total offense. Some of the sounds from Saturday's 56-42 win over Brown. And with that, we welcome in the head coach of the Tigers, Bob Surace. Coach, the second straight week, really third straight week, where you guys had to work for it. Not sure how much fun it was to coach, but certainly a fun game to watch. Cole Smith, one of the most prolific passing performances in program history. 300-yard receivers. Carson Bobo finally gets into the end zone. His first career touchdown. Colanini's third straight game with multiple rushing touchdowns. And fans watching that, at least Princeton fans, getting to see a little bit of everything your offense is capable of.
Yeah, you got to think that of all the people who enjoyed it, Fred Samara had to enjoy a track meet the Princeton one. So,
featuring a couple of his guys too,
that are just tremendous athletes. I thought we executed very well on offense throughout the game. Brown threw a lot of different things at us. Cole handled it well. The O-line handled it well. The finish to the runs, Colin, and the receivers with the ball in their hands was outstanding. And it was a tremendous job, accurate throwing, and really good contested catches by our receivers.
The official physical therapy partner of Princeton Athletics, JAG One Physical Therapy, is proud to serve as your trusted in-network resource for physical and occupational therapy services. Visit them at jagonept.com to get back to the life you love. Cole Smith, 476 yards, 4 touchdowns, 92.6% completion percentage. That's a school record. 25 of 27, and one of them was kind of a smart move to throw it away into the sideline. Completed his first 14 pass attempts. You had to be seeing some shades of Quinn Epperle at Cornell in 2013.
Yeah, and we both know this. How incredible it is. They both went to the same high school. I had remarked to the coaches, you know, the morning, proud dad, you know, my son went like 14 for 16 with 4 touchdowns in the first half of his high school game Friday night. And I'm like, hey, Cole's got to play really well to top this one. And I was with John Mack afterwards and brought Cole over. I said, well, I said that was spectacular. And it's just his, you know, we have a fumble that's returned for a touchdown. But he doesn't panic. He doesn't lose his cool. He has such great composure that we scored, I believe, in 2 plays to, you know, really match the touchdown we had just gave up to go back up by 21. And it's kind of how the offense has been, and his leadership of that has been so far. That's been really fun to see.
Quarterback throws for nearly 500 yards. The receivers are going to have some heavy stat lines. 3 wideouts with 100-plus receiving yards. We've talked about Andre Yosevash, a guy that can stretch the field. We saw that again Saturday. Jacob Bermelin, Ivy League's leading receiver, incredible ability to create space, get open out of that slot position. Dylan Classy sometimes kind of flies under the radar, doesn't fit one mold or the other. He goes for 5 catches, 146 yards and a touchdown, and 2 or 3 really impressive high degree of difficulty receptions.
Yeah, you know, Dylan, when it comes to coaches and teammates, does not fly under the radar. Like, we notice everything he does and how well he blocks. And in these key moments, he just continues to come up with big plays. And, you know, that group, you can tell, they just enjoy each other. It's not just those 3, you know, but that entire receiving group just pushes each other and celebrates and supports each other.
Before we dig into Harvard this weekend, I wanted to talk to you about somebody that I know is really close to you, close to a lot around this program, who we lost last week at just 60 years old after a courageous battle with cancer. Steve DiGregorio, Digger, longtime assistant at Princeton. He was one of your position coaches as a player. Also an incredible career as a high school coach in North Jersey. So someone that didn't just touch and connect with a lot of people here at Princeton, a lot of people in the football community around New Jersey, just a really special man.
Yeah, just, you know, this off season and going to some Power 5 schools, and they all had somebody who was a special assistant to the head coach. And when Digger retired from coaching at Nutley High School, where he was just coming off New Jersey State Coach of the Year, you know, we brought him into the fold. I'd always leaned on him, and, you know, he was my coach. He was my mentor. He was great friend, and he's a colleague. And to bring him with us, you know, it was just such an amazing, way too short time he spent with us, and the emotions this week. And he's, you know, Steve Urban and him are as close as could be. Charlie Thompson, Jerry Price, Stacy Traub, Kim Mazaros. You know, you're looking at people that have been here for a length of time, and he was an icon in our community and the Princeton alums, and supporting his son through Derek Dreams, who is got the same fight and resolve that he had with cancer, fighting, you know, his illness. So it's just tragic. It was emotional, the funeral this week. Seeing alums come from all over the country to celebrate the impact he had, it's what Princeton's about, you know, making this impact. And unfortunately, we lost him too soon.
I know once you get out on the sideline, it's coaching another football game. Did this past Saturday mean a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. Even as he was in the hospital, and you know, we went and Keith Elias went and visited us, and you know, he just kept telling these amazing stories. But every day we sent texts about practice, and I'd tell him what we did. He'd come back with some advice. And After every game, he sent these incredible texts that only a guy who was a coach could see some of the things he saw, and just to the Monmouth game, to that Saturday at 4:17, he sent me a real emotional text that I said to the team on Tuesday.
Shift our attention this Saturday, Powers Field, two top 20 teams, 5-0 Princeton, 5-0 Harvard. It's been 1968 was the last time the Ivy League had three 5-0 teams. It's been nearly four decades since a two-loss Ivy League team won the title. That was back in 1982. I know there's no playoffs in the Ivy League, but I don't know. Kind of feels like the next 5 weeks are going to be a playoff.
Yeah, I feel like this year with so many super seniors, seniors who would have graduated on each team, there's not a breather. And when you look at the teams, like Harvard has been terrific and have had some great teams. But with the extra year of eligibility of players, this is, I think, they're the best team we've gone up against, just the deepest. And I could talk for a half hour on their talent, their Hall of Fame coaching, head coach, and the coaching staff. Like just a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous group, player after player. You know, they go 10 deep at least on the D line. Their two running backs, I don't know if there's a better pair in the country. The plays that they're making, they're always good on the offensive line. This year is no different. They're always good at tight end. This year is no different. The speed on the outside. And you know how good you have to be as a quarterback to beat out a three-year starter, you know, who came back and took the year off. And that's the, you know, it gets lost in the shuffle how well their quarterback's playing. And defensively, we get all these analytic things. They're like us. They're in the top three, five in every single ranking defensively. And it's not just stats. It's what you see on the film. They're tremendous.
The number two scoring defense in the FCS, allowing just 10.5 points a game. The number 11 scoring offense. So this is going to be a good test. I know you talked about those two running backs. They've got two of the top five in the league as far as rushing yards. Aaron Shamklin leading the league in rushing, although he did not play this past weekend. Shamklin's out. Aiden Bourget comes in, 22 carries, 169 yards in that win. Bread and butter of your defense. You look at what you're ranked highest in. It's been rushing defense. You've got a lot of experience up front. This is going to be an unbelievable test.
Yeah, the second you are out of a gap, they're gone. And you see it every single game. They put so much stress on you to be perfect defensively. The second you over-pursue, the second a D lineman gets washed away, and they're so good up front, and they're blocking so good that they're getting into space, and once they get into space, they're going the distance. They're going for long runs. I don't know if any team in the country's had more long runs than they have. And, you know, they got a great scheme combined with an outstanding group of blockers. The receivers, you know, when you're making those long runs, they're doing a great job blocking as well. But, man, to have two dynamic backs, and they have more than two, but those two are getting primarily the bulk of the carries.
Our player guest today, your senior running back from Raleigh, North Carolina, Colin Eady, 10 touchdowns. That leads the Ivy League. It's one shy of the FCS lead. And really, Colin's only played and factored into four games, only had three carries week two against Stetson. Two touchdowns against Columbia, three at Monmouth, four last week at Brown. All nine of those in the last 3 weeks have come in the second half. You talk about Colin Eady, read your quote in the article by Craig Saxon, just talking about the leadership of Colin. You know, it's fourth and one. He's earned that trust where you give him the ball, he gets it done. I think reliable, consistent. Tell us what it's like to coach Colin Eady.
Yeah, he's such a joy to coach because, you know, you say running back and all you think is running. In his stats, I know he's up there with Kazmaier and Elias and Cosmo and these amazing running backs we've had through the years in yards per carry. But the job he does is a blocker. The job he does is a pass receiver. His ability to grab our two young freshman running backs and every day in practice, just talk them through what he sees and how he sees things It's the way he does that as a mentor, as a leader, is equally as valuable because he's such a good human, a good person. And you just love it when guys grow and show that leadership that happened to also be amongst the best to ever play here.
Well, Colin Eady, our player guest, we'll talk to him at the other side of the break. Coach Bob Sorace, thank you as always for spending some time with us. Good luck this weekend against Harvard.
Thank you, Cody.
Back after this on the First in Football podcast.
Iron Workers Local Union number 399 are the people who build and improve the amazing landmark facilities on the Princeton University campus. From new athletic venues to world-class dormitories, our qualified journeymen, iron workers, and apprentices proudly create great projects throughout Central and Southern New Jersey. Our highly trained members promote a positive and safe worksite environment and showcase an exceptional work ethic, just like your Princeton athletes. Go Tigers! Our friends at First Bank pride themselves on being a true community bank. They know the importance of businesses to their communities. When times became tough, First Bank jumped in to help. They helped many local businesses get PPP loans when big banks couldn't come through and contributed donations to organizations dedicated to helping our communities. You want your bank to be there for you when you need it, and First Bank employees are always ready to lend a helping hand. So I encourage you to give them a call at 609-587-3111 or visit their branch in Lawrenceville, just a short drive away from Princeton's campus. First Bank is an equal opportunity lender and member FDIC.
Handoff, Eady up the middle, has a seam. One man to beat, Colin Eady into the end zone for the fourth time today. From 37 yards out, they needed 5 yards on third down. He picked up 37 and found pay dirt. Colin Eady had 2 touchdowns against Columbia. He had 3 last week at Monmouth. He has 4 this week in Providence. 4 touchdowns in Saturday's win at Brown by our next guest on the First in Football podcast, a senior running back out of Garner High School in Raleigh, North Carolina, Colin Eady. Colin, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be up here. It's good to, had a great win last weekend. Got a big game coming up, so I'm really excited for the guys in Crimson. So I'm looking forward to this matchup.
Do Ivy League games feel different? Like when you wake up morning of an Ivy League game, do you get that feeling that, yeah, this matters a little bit more?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got the other games, the outer conference games. So every game's important to us, but the stakes are obviously way higher because it's such a tight league year in and year out, especially when you get to the big games. That every Saturday you wake up and it's an Ivy League game, the air is just a little different. It just means a little bit more, I think.
10 touchdowns, that leads the Ivy League. 9 touchdowns over the last 3 weeks. They've all come in the second half. You've developed this knack for making the big play at the big time.
I mean, I think as the game goes on, you kind of get in a groove. I actually saw a statistic on, like, Derrick Henry last night. That was one of the things that he was saying, like, as you know, the first quarter, you're kind of filling stuff out a little bit, seeing what the running defense is running. Second quarter, it picks up, but as the game, gradually goes on, and into the second half, you're in your groove and you get rolling. And then things start opening up, I think, as our offense is, fast-paced, and I think we start tiring guys out and are able to make explosive plays.
You mentioned Derrick Henry. That man should not be able to move as fast as he does.
250 pounds. That's a 6'3", 250 pounds. That's a big guy. He's one of a kind. I think he'll be one of the best when it's all said and done. I like watching him play.
Last couple of weeks, you guys have had a 4th-and-1. It was late in the game at Monmouth. It was early in the game, your first drive this past Saturday. Everybody knows the ball's going to go to Colin Eady. Like, I don't think you fooled anybody, but you're able to execute. How much pride do you take knowing that you've earned the trust of your coaching staff?
Honestly, I take a lot of pride in it. And I think we just got trust in the offensive line. They're going to move people off the ball like they usually do. And it's been that way ever since I got here. Even when Coach Gleason was around, anytime it was 4th-and-1, we were going for it. There wasn't like a hesitation. We knew it was 4th-and-1, 4th-and-2. We're going for it. So I think just knowing, what the down and distance is and just knowing, this play calls we have and like the pride, I think that, we take in those 4th-down and short plays. I think pride and obviously strength are the big two components, usually converting those things. But yeah, Coach puts his trust in us, and all the time we deliver. So think that's really important.
RWJ Barnabas Health is the official healthcare system of Princeton Athletics. To learn more about services in your area, visit rwjbh.org. Let's be healthy together. 41 points per game. You're part of the top scoring offense in the Ivy League. Love your nickname for your offensive line.
People eaters.
People eaters.
Yeah. I mean, they're moving guys. Our guys, our offensive line is big this year. I think it's probably the biggest offensive line we've had in years since I've been here. And I just love running behind those guys because I know when they're coming off the ball and when we're in a groove, I don't think there's anybody in this league that can stop us, honestly. So I call them the people eaters.
Bob Sorace talks about it. I think if you talk to a lot of coaches for other sports here at Princeton, they'll say the same thing. The Ivy League is a league of seniors, and normally the teams that win have seniors and experience and that veteran leadership. Is that the case?
Oh yeah. I think, in every year's past that we've been successful, it's been because of the senior leaders that we've had. When I think back to 2018, I mean, you got Kurt Aluba, Fasadi, John Lovett, great all-time leaders. And I think even last year as well, we had some really good leaders. And this year, too, I'm starting to realize that this league is senior-driven. You know, some of the best players are the older guys, but you've got the younger players that are that obviously contribute and are very successful as well. But I think a team that has senior leaders and guys that are, you know, have been in those big moments year in and year out, and they just kind of know what's going on. I think that's been good for us because we've never, you know, we've had some couple of close games or just faced some adversity. And I think having those senior leaders, like, it's a feeling, okay, we've been here before. Let's just play football. It's no big deal. I think that pays dividends in those crucial moments.
You did play a pretty good amount as a freshman behind Charlie Volker and a couple other guys. Coach Sorace, when we just talked to him earlier in the podcast, pointed out your leadership, particularly how you've been working with the freshman running backs, Jadarius Carr, John Volker. What have you been able to do to kind of help them along? Princeton is a tough place as a freshman, and then tack the student-athlete piece on, it adds another layer.
I think just trying to help them minimize distraction and realize, well, what's important here and what's not, like where their focus needs to be. And obviously, the time management, how to divvy up their time. And that's, you know, a lot of things outside of the field. And just making them feel at home. It's a tough transition. I know it was for me. You know, and I think it is for those guys as well. So that's off the field. On the field, I think just, you know, coaching them up on the little things, because as you get older, you kind of realize those are things that make the biggest difference. Whether it's being a little bit more patient in a hole, you know, waiting for the blocks to open up instead of just getting the ball and just trying to jam it in there. So it's the little things that I'm trying to work with those guys on, and they've come a long way. And it's like cool to see their growth, especially Jadarius. He's my mentee. You know, we've got the mentor mentee system. So I take great pride in making sure, you know, he's developing. And it's just cool to see him because I kind of see myself in him as, like, when I was younger, you know, my freshman year, playing super young. It was something that not a lot of guys got to do. So I make sure he's sharp as he can be when he gets out there and it's time to roll.
Who were some of your mentors when you were a young guy here?
Mine was Charlie Volker. It was Jacob Lewis and Ryan Quigley. Those were the three guys that kind of took me up under their wing and made sure I was set and I knew what I was doing. Because, you know, freshman year is an interesting time. You're trying to figure everything out, you know, life transition, everything. So just they made sure I was sharp on and off the field.
Let's go back a couple of years before you were a freshman, back to your recruiting process at a Garner High School in North Carolina. At what point did you realize Princeton was the right fit? I was reading, I think, Craig Saxon's article last week where I know your dad was a high school teammate in upstate New York with one of the best to play here, Matt Whalen, but kind of mentioned that Princeton wasn't on your radar early.
Yes. So, I mean, my recruiting process started kind of late, you know, late junior year. You know, it was early afternoon. Coach Salgado came to the school. I'd never talked to him before or anything. You know, usually coaches would be like, hey, I'm stopping by. He just popped up, and I was like, okay, Princeton. I didn't know anything about it, so he gave me a bunch of brochures and everything. It wasn't really until I decided to come take one of my official visits here that I was like, I was kind of blown away. I think the biggest thing for me was the people. It was just a different caliber of individuals. The guys, the coaches were genuine. But the big thing for me was the players, just watching them interact with each other and just see how deep their bonds really are. You know, because other schools, you got people transferring in and out. The coach is a little bit different, but here you got guys sticking around for all 4 years. So you get to develop those bonds. And just seeing the way they interact with each other and kind of embraced even recruits that were coming, you know, to check the place out, just taking us under their wing. I felt like this was a really special place, an atmosphere that you don't get everywhere.
Do you think about that? Like, does that tack on responsibility when, you know, now you're an upperclassman, you're a senior, when recruits come visit campus and you're the one making the first impression?
I think so. I know an important thing for me was, you know, feeling like a home away from home. And I think that's the kind of feel I want for the younger guys or even the recruits that we're bringing in to have, that they feel comfortable. I think that's the biggest thing, because where you're comfortable, I feel like, is where you're primed to do best. So when they're coming on visits, you know, I don't fake the funk. You know, you tell them what it is. This isn't for everybody. You know, it takes a special kind of man to be here. But, you know, we recruit certain people and we recruit really good men on and off the field. So you want them to be comfortable and be able to thrive at their best. And I think that's something we take pride in.
You talk about making sure the freshmen who come in are comfortable and it feels like home. That's got to be a little more of a challenge now that you have essentially two full classes, you know, freshmen and sophomores. Mm-hmm. A lot of them had never stepped on campus before this fall.
That was really interesting.
Guys were bringing in extra lockers. You had so many guys.
Yeah, we got a huge influx this year. And I thought that was interesting. You know, we had guys committing that may have never even really been on campus before. But I think that just speaks to what we have here, especially, you know, the coaches. The coaches are some of the best people that I've ever met. Coach Cerace, just genuine. You know, it's been the same way ever since he was recruiting me and all the time until now. You know, you go some places and coaches kind of change. You know, they come to your house and they're, you know, they're one way, and then you get here and they're another way. I think that just speaks volumes to our coaches, and the environment that we have here, that people were committing before, you know, without really having a chance to be on campus. So I think that says a lot.
You're a sociology major, kind of more of a focus on the business side of that. And you were mentioning that your career goal, whenever football is done, may be commercial real estate. Mm-hmm. How'd you land on that?
Well, it was something that I've always kind of been into. My mom is a realtor, so I've always kind of been in the real estate industry, and I've learned a lot from her. And I think I finally had the chance to. I worked with Jim Petrucci on my year off, and I think that was something that I kind of was like, I think this might be what I want to do. But once I was into it, I kind of realized, like, I think this is what I want to do. There's a lot of different ways you can go with commercial real estate. So I think there's still a lot for me to explore within that. But I think just being able to either lead a team, lead a project, so leadership aspects, you know, the project management aspects, all things that you can kind of take from, like, skills that I've learned from football, and bring them over to a different aspect of life, and so also something I'm interested in. So, yeah.
You mentioned taking the year off. You and 16 or 17 of your senior teammates mm-hmm. did decide to take the year off and come back. Does that make you appreciate stepping out on the field more? I've got to imagine those tough practices don't seem that tough.
Especially, you know, with these guys, we've been doing it for so long now. You know, I'm a fifth year. I'm an older guy. So I think I put my trust in those guys. They took the year off and they were working that entire year. I mean, I would go hang out with them and every day we was to the field, to the gym, just doing all of the little things, so that when we got back here, we could be successful. You know, so one of us is taking the year off and, you know, just doing whatever. So I think I put my trust in those guys and they put their trust in me, because we know on that year off, we did everything we needed to come back and be able to have another successful year.
Your opponent, Harvard, this Saturday at home, 1 o'clock kickoff on Powers Field. What stands out about the Harvard defense that maybe makes them a little bit different than the defenses you faced over the first 4 weeks?
I think they're a talented group of guys. They're always talented. I mean, they're big, they're physical, their D-line's really good, and that's usually the kind of the emphasis of their defense. We always say they've got FBS guys. They've got really good guys. And I think that's probably their strength. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's about us. When it's all said and done, it's going to be the team that's more disciplined and whoever is placed tougher. In these past 3 years, it's been us. We've made less mistakes and been able to capitalize on those mistakes that have been made. So at the end of the day, it's about us, but they're a good defense, and we know we've got our hands full come Saturday.
2 touchdowns week 3 against Columbia, 3 touchdowns week 4 against Monmouth, 4 touchdowns week 5 against Brown. Logically, 5 touchdowns this weekend against Harvard?
Only makes sense.
Colin, appreciate it. Good luck this Saturday.
Cool. Thank you.
So it'll be 17th-ranked Princeton hosting number 16 Harvard Saturday at Powers Field. 2 of the 3 remaining Ivy League unbeatens. It's actually the first time since 1968 there are 3 5-0 teams in the Ancient Eight. It's the first time since 2009 any FCS conference has had a trio of 5-0 teams. The CAA last did it in 2009. One of those teams, Villanova, the eventual national champion. The Wildcats wide receivers coach, current Princeton wideouts coach Brian Flynn. Saturday, one of those days where something has to give. 2 top 10 defenses nationally, and the 2 highest scoring offenses in the Ivy League, Harvard 37 points per game, Princeton 5th best in the FCS, 41 points per game. 2 years ago in Princeton, Harvard led at the half, but 2 second-half touchdowns by who else but Colin Edie helped the Tigers prevail 30-24. Kickoff this Saturday at Princeton Stadium is set for 1 o'clock on homecoming. You can go to goprincetontigers.com/tickets to secure your seats. If you can't make it out, you can catch the game on ESPN+. That'll be myself, Dave Giancola, and Renee Washington on the call. Pat McCarthy and Coffee Jones have you covered on the Princeton Sports Network, free audio on the Varsity Network app, or at goprincetontigers.com/watch. Thanks to our guests, Bob Cerace and senior running back Colin Edie. Until next week, I'm Cody Cruchel saying thank you for listening to the First in Football podcast presented by Jag One Physical Therapy.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.